Hello again, and thank you for tuning in and staying with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. During my time with you on the program, we've been trying to consider together the providence of God. And the word providence gives us the perspective of God's, not just his omniscience, not just his knowledge of things that will happen in the future, but his active provision to make sure that everything is necessary when a need arises in the future, that everything is already prepared to ensure that the needs of his children are taken care of. And what we'd like to do now in our series on the providence of God is to consider specific aspects of our life. Consider specific aspects of our daily life where we see in Scripture God providing beforehand, God exhibiting his providence and providing beforehand for the needs of his people in many of our needs and trials and oftentimes challenging circumstances in our daily life. So the first of those aspects that we'd like to look at, the first area of our daily life that we'd like to try to consider together where we see God's providence is God's providence in sickness. And Lord willing, our next message will be providence from physical death. And sometimes those are connected, that many times when we think about providence, again, we'll consider this more in depth in a later message, but many times when we talk about providence, it's God sparing us from maybe a very catastrophic car crash and maybe angelic protection in a circumstance where we could have been severely injured or maybe even killed, and God protects us from that. But obviously the culmination of sickness would be death, right? So depending on the severity of that sickness, these can sometimes be connected. But it's great to be reminded that God's with us. God is with us, providing for our needs in the midst of our sickness. We have considered the life of Job, and certainly God put a protective hedge around the life of Job. And if it was up to Satan, he probably would have killed Job. He probably would have took his physical life, but he did suffer him to suffer severe sickness, severe boils all over his body. But God still sustained him even in the midst of that sickness. He provided for his need even in the midst of the sickness that Job was called to endure. In Isaiah 38, we have the story of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is told of the Lord, "Set your house in order, for you're gonna die." And immediately, Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he prays unto God. And the Lord answers his prayer so quickly that he, even before the prophet had left the courtroom of the palace, the Lord tells Isaiah to go back in there and tell Hezekiah, "I've changed my mind. I have heard your prayer. I've seen thy tears. And behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. And then as a confirmation of that, God even sent the sun backward on the sundial 10 degrees to confirm to Hezekiah that even though he was facing a terminal illness, he said he was about to die, right? He was facing a terminal illness, but God added to him 15 more years. Why? Because of Hezekiah's prayer, because of the effectual, fervent prayer of Hezekiah. And that's what we find in James chapter 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So we want to pray for our loved ones, even to pray for ourselves. It's certainly appropriate to pray for ourselves when we are in the midst of sickness, and even not just to pray for ourselves, but even to call for the elders of the church and for them to lay hands on you so that the Lord will see fit, if it's according to his will, to provide for our need in the midst of sickness. And if it's according to his will, maybe he will see fit to provide with medical healing, miraculous healing. But also, if it's not his will, certainly God will provide grace sufficient for us. It is something to keep in mind that ultimate healing is not necessarily just in this life, but ultimate healing, full healing, is actually when we pass away and when we go to heaven. So when we pray for healing, when we pray for healing from sickness, it's only for a temporary season for us to get sick again and die of something else at a different time. So not every time we pray, obviously for ourselves or for our loved ones, not every time we pray is the Lord going to add 15 years to our life or our loved one's life. Instead, sometimes it's according to the will of God for them to receive ultimate healing, to final healing and perfect healing, and to be in the presence of the Savior. So when we pray, we say, Lord, please bless me. Please bless me, my loved ones. Bless people I know that are sick. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because we pray for providence in sickness in our life, but we also pray for healing. And sometimes that healing comes through death instead of healing through a medical recovery. You know, as we think about sickness, think about all of the people in the life of Jesus and all throughout the New Testament, people that were healed of various illnesses, but especially during the life of Jesus. You know, there's much that we don't know about the Lord's timing and why. You know, from my perspective, with my limited vision and my limited knowledge, and certainly knowing that God's judgments are unsearchable and his ways are past finding out, and his ways are higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, so much far, even as the heaven is above the earth. But from my limited perspective, you know, it's hard to look at some of these people that were sick all throughout their life until Jesus saw fit to heal them. And yes, praise God for all of these examples of people that were healed of some short-term sicknesses, but also long-term illnesses, long-term disabilities. And you almost kind of wonder why. Why did the Lord suffer these people to have to go through that sickness for so long? I mean, think about examples of, in John chapter 9, the man that was born blind. We don't know what age he was, but he was of age to speak for himself. He certainly was 20 years old or older, I think it's safe to assume. So this man had suffered through being born blind. And think about all the difficulties that come along with that. He's not able to hold a job. He obviously is in tremendous danger all the time of running into things and hurting himself due to lack of vision. But then when the Lord sees this man, he ends up healing him in John chapter 9. He says, actually, that this man was born blind. People start saying, who sinned? Did he sin? Did his parents sin that he was born blind? Jesus said, none of that happened. It's not because of somebody's sin that he was born blind. He was born blind that the works of God should be manifest. He was born blind for the glory of God. But look how it took the right time to come, right? We think about the providence of God, God providing for the need at the right time, but that right time is according to his will, right? He's the one who determined when the right time is. And just from a natural perspective, I feel sorry for that blind man, right? He had a lot of problems. He had a lot of problems for years upon years, at least 20 years, most likely. But God still provided for his need in the midst of that disability, in the midst of that limitation that he had, ultimately, not just for him to be healed, but to be healed in such a way that God would be powerfully glorified in the midst of it. And again, just because someone's blind doesn't mean that God necessarily will heal them. But this example and so many others as we continue to talk about this just really remind us that God's will is different than our will. His ways and his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And we have such a tendency to try to understand why. Well, that's not our intention. That's not our role. Our role is to walk by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith requires us to trust God even when we don't see the fullness of what he's doing in any given moment. So think about that man that was born blind. I mean, boy, it would have been easy for him to be bitter. But in the Lord's time, in his providence, he provided for his healing. And again, in our life, maybe it's not the Lord's will to provide healing. Maybe we have to deal with a long-term medical affliction, or maybe it's the Lord's will for us to pass away, either ourselves or a loved one. But notice all of these examples where people had to deal with sicknesses, and many of them long-term sicknesses, until just the right time, until the fullness of the time had come in God's providence to provide for their sickness or their disability. Think about Acts chapter 3, the man who was born lame. And we don't know how old he was, but he was well known. I think it's probably reasonable to assume he'd probably been there 20 years begging at the door of the temple. And again, think about how hard of a life he had. And it would have been very easy for him to be bitter. It would have been very easy for him to complain even afterwards. You know, praise God I'm healed now, but it's just hard to not look back in our natural self and be like, praise God you healed me, but why did you make me suffer as a lame man for so long? Why did you make me suffer as a lame man, or man from John chapter 9? Why did you make me suffer as a blind man for years, for 20 years or more, or who knows how long it was? Why did you make me suffer? Again, the answer is never for us to try to drill down into why. That's God's business. But God provided for their need at the right time according to his will. We think about the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years. Again, she suffered for a long time. God could have healed her at any time, but he waited till the right time to provide for her need in his providence. We think about the lepers, right? That Jesus healed the lepers. And they were ostracized from their family for many years, and they weren't able to spend time with their family. And then until the time came and he healed them of their leprosy. He healed so many more, no doubt, that we don't even know about, that are not specifically highlighted in Scripture. The lame, the mute, the blind, the lepers, those with unclean spirits. Jesus healed all them. And again, why did he wait? Why did he tarry? Well, that's the Lord's business, but he waited until the right time to provide for their need. And then there's some other ones that were not necessarily as long-term of illnesses. They were more acute, more short-term illnesses. We think about Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with a fever. Well, Jesus healed her, right? Jesus provided for her illness and her sickness and to heal her from that. Jesus healed the nobleman's son who was at the point of death. Jesus raised 3 people from the dead. The widow at Nain's son, Luke chapter 7, Jairus' daughter, Matthew chapter 9, and then obviously the pinnacle, Lazarus, from John chapter 11. And if you remember Lazarus, everyone was questioning, why'd you tarry? Why'd you wait 4 days when you're only a few miles away? And he tarried 4 days. And kind of similar to what Jesus said about the blind man in John chapter 9. Why did he tarry in healing the blind man? Well, for the glory of God, that the works of God would be manifest. Why did he tarry in healing Lazarus? So God would be glorified. So the works of God would be manifest. So they would believe on him as the Son of God. But in all those instances, what did God do? He provided healing for their sickness, both Peter's mother-in-law, the nobleman's son, and then even raising in his ministry 3 people from the dead. And this is just one more example of how God is working and God's planning, and he even has something planned in advance, even though we don't know about it. You know, I think about some of these people that were healed, especially those with long-term problems. You know, the man that was born blind, John chapter 9, the man that had been lame from his mother's womb, Acts chapter 3, the lady who had this issue of blood for 12 years. You know, as they were praying a week ahead of time before they were healed, as they were praying a day ahead of time before they were healed, they probably did not see any hope that they would ever be relieved of this affliction. They felt like, in a natural sense, there wasn't any remedies. Well, when they reflected on their condition just at the beginning of the day that they ended up being healed, they did not know what was coming that day, right? They did not know that the Messiah was going to come and provide for their need. Now, if you ask them when they would have preferred for the Lord to provide for their need, I guarantee you they would have said, I need it before the time that it came, right? I mean, I wouldn't blame them one bit. Hey, if you're asking me, give me my vision years earlier. If you're asking me, give me the ability to walk years earlier. If you're asking me, give me the ability to have this issue of blood removed years earlier. If you ask their opinion, they felt like that their needs should have been provided for earlier, right? If you would have asked them, they would have said, I need my need provided for now. But it was not the Lord's will for that need to be provided. But it's just one more example of how the Lord's providence is right around the corner. The Lord's providing is right around the corner, but we can't see it. It's just amazing. All those people that were healed, that the morning they got up, they did not know that the Lord had been preparing and guiding for to provide for their sickness many, many days, possibly even many years in advance. They did not know what was coming in the Lord's will. And that's how all of the Lord's will is. We're thinking about sickness, but you know, just think about that. When you get up on a given day, we do not know what may come in that day. That's why we say, if the Lord will, I will do this or that. We do not know what a day holds. And you do not know what challenges may come that the Lord may need to provide, but we don't know what long-term challenges that today may be the day that the Lord has been preparing to provide for that need many, many years in advance. And if it was up to me, I sure would like to have it earlier. But according to the Lord's will, He's going to provide for our needs according to the right time in His providence. Now, what happens when we tarry? What happens during that time we have to wait? Well, He tells us He'll provide grace sufficient during that time that we have to wait. That's what He told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had a thorn in the flesh that was very painful. And Paul said, please remove it. And the Lord said, it's not my will to remove it. It's being suffered and to remain for a purpose, to keep you humble, lest you should be exalted above measure. But I am going to remind you that my grace is sufficient for you, and that my power, the power of God, is manifest the most strongest to my glory in the midst of your weakness. So keep that in mind as we think about, certainly we pray for God's providing of sickness. But again, the provision in sickness is not always necessarily healing, right? The provision for the thorn is not always that the thorn would be taken away. Now, if He does take it away, praise God. But maybe God's providence to provide in the midst of your sickness, it may not be healing. Maybe the Lord provides a dear friend to you to encourage you in the midst of your medical illness. Maybe the medical illness remains, but He provides certain circumstances and people in your life to encourage you. Maybe in the midst of a medical problem, you have tremendous issues with finances. How are we going to pay for this medical treatment? Well, the Lord is going to provide for that medical treatment, for the finances associated with that, according to His will. So as we think about providence, it's not always healing. If you think about providence and sickness, it's not always healing. It's God providing us what we need and Him planning ahead of time to provide for what we need. And if it's according to His will, praise Him to His glory if He sees fit to heal us in a miraculous way. But sometimes His providence and sickness is just grace sufficient. It's friends to encourage us. It's a strong church family to pray for us and to encourage us. It's people that are generous, willing to give of their finances if we're struggling in a financial way. And those are all the provision of God. So let's not limit the providence of God in sickness to only healing. God is going to provide for what you need. And what you need every day is grace sufficient. Grace sufficient. And boy, we need tons of unmerited favor and grace when we are dealing with severe sickness in our life or in the life of a loved one. So we'll continue on, Lord willing, through some specific areas of life that God provides for our needs. And we pray that we will pray for our loved ones, pray for our church family, pray for ourselves, remembering that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, and it might be His will to send miraculous medical healing, but also maybe the Lord provides for our needs with just giving us grace sufficient to bear up and to suffer under that sickness in a way where we can be joyful to glorify God throughout the sickness instead of glorifying God through healing. So we pray that the Lord would bless us according to His will to be faithful, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of sickness, that we can be as Job and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray this message is encouraging to you. If that's the case, we thank the Lord for it. And again, we would love to have you tune in next time as we continue our consideration of the providence of God from the Scriptures. May God bless you on this Lord's Day.